Hey, welcome to Starting Block here for another Thursday. You got myself, Corino, and I'm joined by a man who spent pretty much all day sending angry tweets to Mal Meninga because he didn't get a phone call to say he's not part of the Australian squad either. My co-captain, Damo, how are we, sir?
Very good, Greeno. Good evening to you. Good evening to all the boys and girls out there on board the listenership. And as always, Greeno, the blockheads.
And the millions.
Tuning in right around the world. Have we got much to cover today?
It's a hardy show, to be honest, man.
Did anything happen, though, last weekend? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Boring stuff. A lot of very boring games. To be honest with you.
Very boring stuff.
We're going to do something outside kilter on this show.
Outlandish.
We're going to open it with sport.
Oh, no, hang on. Can I just rewind that back here?
Yeah.
You're going to break with tradition?
I'm going to break with tradition.
Surely there was some red carpet event that we can talk about.
Not one bit of red carpet I could
have
think
you watched,
about.
Have you watched any of The Bachelorette?
I haven't watched any Bachelorette. There's
you
no
haven't.
Bachelorette to talk about.
I was very keen to discuss Sophie Monk.
Maybe segment two.
Segment two.
Segment two we can talk about,
okay. Sophie. I feel very uncomfortable. I can tell this is going to be a terrible show.
Why? Because we're going to talk about sport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That'll do it.
Because you got to set the tone early.
Let's have a look at NRL Grand Final, Damo. The big dance, Damo.
The big dance.
Boring as batshit. What can I say? The game was over for me at the 2-minute mark when one Sean Fenson went down with a broken leg and had to be stretched off.
Yeah, because before the game, you were like, you know, this will prove Sean Fenson's legend status.
Because
he's going to win a premiership, finally.
Yep.
Like a much deserving one for Sean Fenson, but unfortunately, broken leg. 2 minutes.
Mate,
2 minutes. Is that all he lasted?
Well, I think it's case in point here because Sean Fenson only lasted 2 minutes on the field.
Yes.
How about how well North Queensland went?
Yeah. Well, that's
34-6. I dare say. I know it's a bold prediction.
Yes.
This is my Tim Simonia exotic bet of the past.
Of the. Well, you can't go back.
We can. That's what Tim does. Tim plays the percentages.
No. His girlfriend does.
He's not his girlfriend.
No.
He's friend at arm's length. If Sean Fenson had played the full 80, because he would have.
Yes.
Because he hasn't come off Sean.
No, he never. Doesn't he have like some kind of record for the most amount of games played in a row or something?
Something ridiculous. Oh, not in a row, but...
He's played a lot of games.
He's played a lot of games.
He's played a lot of footy. Let's just put it that way.
He's played a lot of minutes, played a lot of footy. Yeah. Had that not been the case, I dare say, North Queensland victory.
Wow. Yeah, that's really going out on a limb.
And not by a little bit.
No, by like 50-0.
I'm talking Storm 134-6. I'm saying reverse.
80-0.
I'm saying you put 34 next to North Queensland, whack a 6 next to the Storm.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
So now, see, we've finally figured out one of the great mysteries of rugby league, Greeno. Mm. All this time, we thought that Jonathan Thurston was the key to the Cowboys' success. And since he's been gone, you know, all the, dare I say, quote-unquote experts, all those flogs out there saying, I don't understand. Why is North Queensland winning? Even to the point of pure insanity with Andrew Johns coming out and saying that they're more dangerous with Michael Morgan. No. I say no. All along, you were wrong. Every single expert was wrong. It was Sean Fenson. Bloody Fenson was the key to the Cowboys' success, Greeno.
We rest our case. You want to have a look at what happened in the grand final?
That's it. It's over.
We're done. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
I don't know if you saw Fenson, like, it was bad. He's got a spiral fracture, two places in his leg. But getting stretchered off the ground gave everyone a big thumbs up.
Then he
started pumping up the crowd as he was being stretchered.
What a man.
He's a legend.
What a man.
Then to make matters, he was already my favourite player.
Yes.
Going back a good 10 years, I guess.
Which is understandable.
And then when he went to North Queensland, I didn't care. He wasn't wearing a green jersey anymore. He was green in heart.
Green in heart, Greeno.
He sent a text in his hospital bed watching the game as his leg was being replaced.
That must have been a quick trip to the hospital. They must get like express lane service where us mere peasants.
Public transport, Damo.
He hitchhiked.
You've got to get public transport to the game and to the hospital.
No, you know what? He flew there.
He must have.
Yeah. Like Superman.
Yeah, it's the only way.
Super Sean.
He sent a text to Matt Scott, who was up there in the coach's box, apologising for letting the team down.
Is that right?
He had his leg broken. Yeah. The poor bastard.
Nah.
He felt bad about him. That's how much I love Sean Fenson.
Should we give him a nice Gary?
Forget the nice Gary. I'm giving him a get down buffer. Hey.
Get down buffer. Hey. Well played, Greeno.
He's double nice Gary.
Very good.
Do
you think he'll be a legend like a Hall of Famer?
Well, I think he already is.
Do you think he should... In the spirit of the people.
In the spirit of the people. There's no Hall of Fame, though, for the NRL.
Isn't there? No. It's the legends.
They've got the Immortals, and there's only like eight of them.
Well, he's clearly immortal. I mean, because he broke his leg. He flew to the hospital.
Well, I think he needs to go a tier above.
A tier above.
Because you've got your immortals, you've got, you know.
How do you go above immortals?
You got your Gazniers, you've got your Johnses, you've got your Lewis's. They're the immortals.
That's rubbish.
I think we need a step above. We'll think about it. Get in touch with us. If you're watching on Periscope or listening on Twitter, live stream, whatever it may be. Think of what can we place on the Sean Fensom? Like, because he's the only man that can be in that bracket at this point.
Why don't
maybe
we just,
Alan Tung?
What but Tungy? why don't we just cut the chase and just call it the Fensom?
Maybe,
and we'll name it after him. And he's the only one that has one
that can reach that.
Well, because who else could really?
Good point.
Except for maybe Alan Tung.
Maybe Alan Tung.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe Alan Tung.
Is Webke an immortal?
No.
No?
No.
Because he would be up there.
What? No.
Yeah, Webke was an absolute legend.
He's legend, but he's about as much chance of being immortal as Glenn Lazarus does. So
why won't Lazarus be an immortal? He should be. Three grand finals, three different teams.
Immortals only go to the greatest players in the history of the game. There's only eight of them. The game's been going for over 100 years, David.
Yeah, but Andrew Johns is in there.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's one of the greatest eight to ever play the game, Baron.
Garbage. He's got nothing on Sean Fensom, and that's for damn sure.
Well, no. Well, that's given.
That's why we need a whole new tier. Actually, let's just kick Johnsy out
and give him.
Let's de-immortalize
Joey,
and we'll immortalize
and bring in Sean.
Sean Fensom.
Now we're onto something here.
Yep.
But that'd be a downgrade for Fensom.
Yeah, that's true.
That wouldn't be fair.
It would be right on the man. Let's just kick Johnsy out anyway.
Speaking of piss poor decisions and unjust awards, Damo.
Yes.
Clive Churchill went to Billy Slater.
Yep. What'd you think?
Sean Fensom should have got him.
it was the greatest 2 minutes of rugby league we've ever seen.
If not Sean Fensom, Tohu Harris probably did deserve the Clive Churchill medal.
Okay,
and Cameron Smith pretty not far behind.
Is this just your continuing hate on for everything that Billy Slater's ever done and will do?
No, he just didn't deserve it.
Okay, but you don't particularly like Billy, though.
No, he's
do
a douche.
Yeah, but see, this is tainting your otherwise unbiased, except for Sean Fensom view of rugby league.
I don't like Billy. A couple of years, he's been a dick for a long period of time.
He's been good for a long time.
Literally one of the most unlikable human beings, let alone
players. Why do you say that? I don't understand this Billy hate that's out there.
Have you seen the way he plays? He's a scumbag.
He's a great player.
He's a grub. He's an absolute grub. He's a scumbag. Great player. Scumbag.
He's a great guy. He's always thanking his mum.
No. And that's garbage. And this is what happened about 2 years ago, right? So he had that shoulder injury. Looked like he wasn't going to play. So he starts like sidling in with the Channel 9 commentary team going, oh, yeah, I'm going to start rocking up here, pretending to be a nice guy.
Yep.
Lo and behold, a couple of years later, I can be back being a douche. There was a picture where one of the Cowboys players, it summed up, because everyone was talking about, oh, what a beautiful speech Billy Slater had. He thanked his wife, he thanked his mum. No, we see through this facade, Damo.
No, I don't.
Because
there was
a picture, as Josh Adokar was, you know, racing away, there was a picture taken, and in the background, there's Billy Slater. Instead of, you know, following his teammate, cheering on, he's pointing to the Cowboys player on the ground and mocking him.
Really?
What a dick.
Okay.
That's bad enough. You're just going down. To, you're already missing Fensom. And now we're going to put up with this ridicule?
Well,
This piss poor embarrassment that is Billy Slater?
If Sean Fensom did it, what would you say?
Well, he obviously the player
he'd be deserving. Yeah.
Sean would have had a reason to do so.
Yeah, of course.
Do we care about any of the other games, Damo, the Intra Super Cup?
No, we may as well roll through the score to kill some time.
We'll kill some time. So the Storm, they rolled through 34-6. Do we even say the score?
Yeah,
I don't think we did. Storm
34-6.
Well done.
Yeah, because if it had been reversed, if Sean Fensom had played, yeah.
Can we quickly put a question mark on it just until the books get checked?
Please do. Yes, an asterisk.
Basically what I would have done.
A dot, dot, dot,
Instead of giving Cam Smith the trophy, I would have basically just put it at his accountant's office.
Yeah.
And just said, look, we'll get back to you in 6 to 8 weeks.
No, what we do is we give him just the base of the trophy.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, so you've got the base of it, but you'll get the rest in the mail when we're sure that, you know.
Once we've
a down payment.
A
trophy down payment.
We'll give you 10%
payment.
Of it, and then we'll wait and see. Yeah.
And once we'll just engrave Mel on it.
Once the check clears, then we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Intra Super Cup, another boring as batshit game. Penrith 42, Papua New Guinea 8. Oh, sorry, 18.
18. Don't rob them of that 10, Greeno.
No, we don't want that.
That's big 10.
They only scored those final three tries.
Is the talk still around? Is the talk still around like it was a few years ago that Papua New Guinea will be the next expansion side in the NRL?
No. Well, talk, yes, because papers just try and fill pages.
Sure.
So there's always, oh, no, it's great. They get 10,000 people there every game. Like this Papua New Guinea side.
Yep.
It's an interesting Cup game.
Is there any
names? They were
names
called Legends.
It?
No, no, no one. You okay. know any of them.
No one we know.
No one we know.
Okay.
There's no Sean Fensham in that side, I'll tell you that much.
There probably could be. If you're listening, PNG Rugby League officials, naturalise Fensham.
Yes, now we're talking.
Because Australia's too arrogant. They don't want him.
We don't want him.
They don't want him to
appreciate him enough as we should.
No, they don't want him to upstage the rest of the team, Greeno. That's the thing, because they've got to sell. They've got to sell merchandise. They've got to sell all those other jerseys. If you put Sean Fensham in that Australian team, it's basically a one-man team.
Well, that's unfair to the other players, I guess.
It is.
You know, they've got kids to feed.
All these future immortals, Greeno.
All these illegitimate children to feed, Domo. Penrith 42, right away with it. They were up 42-0 after about 45
minutes. I think it was pretty legitimate. There was someone there making sure, watching to make sure that it was legitimate.
We've got the film. Yeah. We'll check back on it. I was going to make a joke I shouldn't
take
make.
Take off track, Neil.
I'm not going to take it.
You can make a joke.
It was a little bit filthy.
A little bit.
Probably a bit too filthy for this show.
A little bit.
And that's saying something, considering some of the stuff we say. I was like, no, I can't say that on here.
Do it in the ad break for the Periscope viewers.
The one game that did actually live up to the excitement of what a grand final should be was the final Holden Cup, Damo.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's normally a big score fest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Aren't they normally like 60 to 52 and 48 to 36? Because nobody tackles in the under 20s.
This one they did. It was Manly 20, Para 18. Manly scored in the final minute for the win. Para choking like nobody else's business.
Not again.
They basically should have been up 40-0 at about the 25-minute mark. They were carving up Manly, couldn't get the ball over the line properly, and unfortunately gave away the biggies.
Okay. It's good signs, though, for Parramatta fans. It's good to know that you've got a good squad of 19 and 20-year-olds ready to choke on the big stage in about 3 or 4 years' time.
That's how they like to do it. Let's have a look at the... Because the World Cup started. You got World Cup fever, Damo?
Yeah, I do have a little bit... I've come down with a little bit of something.
A little something. Yeah. I believe it might be...
I used a public restroom over the weekend.
That'll do it. I believe
do you know
it might
if World
be...
Cup fever's spreading? I'm not sure. Is it contagious?
Slowly, by the fact that I didn't realise World Cup was happening this year. And it's in Australia, believe it or not.
Oh, is it?
It's in our own backyard.
We should go and watch a game.
We should, actually.
For the block.
We will.
Tickets will be cheap.
$1.80 for a ticket.
$1.80.
$1.80 for a whole family.
Is there Fensham in this team? Or?
Well, obviously not.
No.
I'm going.
No.
I'm drawing my ticket.
Yeah. Now we're boycotting.
We're boycotting.
It's a protest.
At a protest.
Yep.
I'll just kneel.
Yes, you'll kneel during the game. The whole game?
The whole game.
No, but that's the ode of Sean, who's got a broken leg and can't stand.
He can't stand on one leg.
There you go.
Sean would find a way.
Yep.
Here's the Kangaroo squad, Damo. Billy Slater returns to the Australian squad. Darius Boyd, Will Chambers, Dane Gagai.
Okay. So what, is Boyd going to be on the bench or will he play on the wing?
He'll play wing.
Okay.
Dane Gagai, Tom Trbojevic, Josh Dugan, even though he...
The Dukes.
He basically led to his coach getting sacked, apparently, because him and Ferguson were out on the booze a couple of days before the big Origin 3.
They don't learn these boys, do they?
They picked him anyway. Well done, Mal. Valentine Holmes, Cooper Cronk, Cameron Munster, Michael Morgan, James Maloney, Aaron Woods.
Aaron Woods.
Who does Paul Vaughan need to root to get into this Australian or representative squad?
Really? You'd stick Fatty 2 in there?
And Paul Vaughan.
Oh, Paul, I thought you said Paul Vaughton.
No, Paul Vaughan. an unbelievable year. Aaron Woods has been terrible.
Okay.
Then he's seen got his coach sacked.
Yep.
Then left, abandoned his club that he's captain of.
Is it a bit like the Australian cricket team, Greeno, but that's not cricket? Is it a bit like when the team's going okay, it's harder to get out than it is to, like, this bullshit of, like, we need continuity and we need to keep the squad together?
It's
and
boys
that
club,
sort of
man. It's boys club. Half of these guys wouldn't be bigging them.
Yeah, right.
David Clemmer, Josh Maguire, Andrew Fafita's in the squad.
Would you put Fafita in?
He's had a pretty good year. That's fair enough. That's on form.
Okay.
Jake Trbojevic, Jordan McLean, Boyd Cordner, Matt Gillette, Tyson Frizzell, Wade Graham.
Gillette hasn't been his best year, has it?
He's still pretty good though. He's a weapon.
He's dangerous, but he hasn't had the best year by Matt Gillette standards, has he?
Not by his standards, but he's had some pretty high standards. Not Fensham level.
Not Fensham level.
But
nobody's Fensham
for,
level.
For Matty Gillette,
Fensham should be bloody coaching the team.
Captain coach.
Captain.
Give it a Mao.
Add media.
The job.
And PR.
Get
doctor.
The commentator throughout the game.
And the doctor.
He knows how to
you
fix
can run that off.
He knows
it's
how to
just
fix
a broken
a
leg.
Wade Graham, Felice Kafusi, Cameron Smith, and Ben Hunt.
That's a nice little reward there for Ben Hunt.
You deserve it. He's had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
I don't know why we need that many halves, though.
Yeah.
We've got Cooper Cronk, Cameron Munster, Michael Morgan, James Maloney, and Ben Hunt.
Must be expecting a lot of post-match festivities, Greeno.
Just a few. Oh, Wade Graham can play six.
Wade Graham, yep.
They said they want a lot of flexibility.
Flexibility. They, so what, we want to put a number 7 at, say, you know, second row.
Well, because they're talking about other snubs, like James Tedesco missed out. He's going to go play for Italy instead.
Is he really?
Yep.
Wow.
And so Paul Vaughan, for that matter. Who are you going to play for Italy?
Really?
The grad Italian man.
Okay. Is Robbie Farah playing for Lebanon? He'll be playing for Lebanon, that's correct. Okay.
I don't know,
Lebanon, how many go into the World Cup now? Because they trimmed it right back, didn't they?
No, I think it's still pretty much, that's the Cricket World Cup you're thinking
the
of.
The Cricket World Cup, okay.
Let's have a look. You talk about the Mick Potters, Damo.
The Mick Potters? What have we got to
that's
talk
the next
about
story.
Mick Potters?
Yeah. Well, because last week we talked about how we need a new Mick Potter this year because the new Mick Potters need to step up. And we threw out a few names. We said your Laurie Dailies. We said your Des Haslers.
Yes.
We said your Michael Maguires.
Yep.
And who else do we say? Did we say Tuvi?
Tuvi was on the list.
And then obviously you got the immortal Mick Potter.
The Mick Potters, yes.
So lo and behold, day after we go to air, I see this, and I forget which paper it was, just heard that Des Hasler and Michael Morgan have put their hands up for the vacant
Michael
Gold
Morgan.
Coast title.
Michael Morgan, he's an absolute superstar, Michael Greeno. Maguire. Look at that. Hasn't played Maguire. Origin. He's coaching.
My apologies, Michael Maguire.
That's a go.
14 teams, sorry, to answer your question before.
Okay, 14 teams.
Why do we need 14?
That's way too many. That's 10
two.
Too many.
True.
10 too many.
Australia, New Zealand, thanks for coming.
Really? You don't even give England a crack?
Nah, forget them.
Yeah, you see, have you noticed like every single World Cup, everybody builds up and says, you know what, England's definitely going to have a crack this time.
Mm.
You know, they've got a really good team this time. They've been well drilled. They really want it. You know, it's about time that they broke the duopoly of Australia versus New Zealand. And then every single time, it's like, straight out.
No.
Straight out.
That's a problem. Not a Fensom in their squad.
Should they naturalise Sean Fensom?
Well, that's something needs to be done.
You know, he wouldn't do it because he wouldn't want to spit on his Australian brothers.
Eligibility is
the
issue.
He'd rather play for PNG.
I just think Sean should be able to play for anyone.
Anyone.
Like, he will play a game on a Saturday.
He should be able to pick his own team.
He'll whack a Lebanon jersey on Saturday and then Sunday play for Australia.
DJ in the mix on Periscope, Greeno. How about those New York Yankees?
Yeah, no, don't worry. We're going to get to the Yankees, man. We're getting to the Yankees. That's segment three, brother.
Segment three.
Are we talking Aaron Judge? Are we talking Didi Gregorius of ABL fame? Didi Gregorius spent some time down here with the Canberra Cavalry.
You're showing
big
your knowledge.
Big bomb today, man. Showing big three-run bomb.
Showing your knowledge there by breaking out the ABL fame.
ABL
Greeno.
Fame, man. Well, we're talking Yankees a little bit later. So
I don't know if people put ABL stars and Yankees known players in the same boat.
They do
days.
When it comes to Didi Gregorius.
The Australian Baseball League.
That much.
There you go. So he got their start down under.
He did.
Yep.
He did. He's actually Sir Didi.
Sir Didi.
He has been knighted.
At the Sydney Blue Sox. Was he for Sydney?
No, he was Canberra.
Canberra. Okay.
So there we go. Are we done with the Des Hasler Mick Potters?
Yeah.
They stepped up early. I also saw Laurie Daly linked to that job. He apparently went for an interview.
Really?
So between those three.
Don't do it, Laurie.
Michael Maguire, Laurie Daly, and Des Hasler, they're leading the charge for the Mick Potters.
The Mick Potters.
The Mick Potter Award.
Bloody wonderful.
To wrap it up, Damo, do I do the dumbest comment of the week?
Yeah, go on.
It's
going to
be dumbest headline of the week. I'm going to put this thing in alphabetical
Folks
order.
Folks are dumb hey. Where I come from.
Is that what you want, alphabetical? Will that make
it
easier
when it comes
easier
to sound
for
effects?
Yeah, all right, I can fix that up.
I spent a good 3 minutes of the show searching.
Would you like color-coded?
Don't need color-coded on the board, man.
Yeah,
you don't need alphabetical
color-coded?
Order. I'll work it out alphabetically.
Okay. Alphabetically. Mm. All right. No worries.
There we go.
Okay. Look after you.
Dumbest headline of the week.
Dumbest headline of the week.
One.
What do we got?
Kieran Foran. He's had a rough couple of years, Kieran.
Mm. You're not wrong.
Very
That's
rough
one way
couple
to put
of years.
It. Yeah.
But I've got good news, Damo.
Mm.
Kieran Foran. This is the headline.
Yep.
Kieran Foran has found love with a tattooed mother of six.
Wow.
On the Central Coast. Now.
Wow.
Why this is needed.
Yep.
Firstly, do you want to have a guess?
Well, because he didn't have puppy, but there's plenty of baby, I guess.
But that's what I was thinking.
I've never felt so accepted in all my life.
Back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so a couple of ways. Follow the Starting Block on Twitter, Greeno, at the Starting Block, one word, drop the K at the end. You can follow me if you want.
You can do that.
At Boogie Bumper, one word. Obviously, if you're watching on Periscope, you know how to find us on Periscope. Mm. This will be uploaded later to YouTube, this episode.
We might whack that up there as well.
This will be, so YouTube form, podcast form, and live stream form, and live tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on 89.3 FM, Greeno. So
on radio. So we've
got it all. It's a four-pronged, it's known as the Fensom.
It is.
It's the four-pronged attack.
We're like a herpy, man. We're spreading.
We're spreading.
quickly.
Before the show, we were talking about, you know, how much we need topical. So we've got the double pronged in the posterior greeno, the herpy plus the topical.
Plus topical cream. To fix.
And the four pronged attack, the live stream, the live FM radio show, the YouTube, and the podcast. And I mean, it's all happening.
It's all happening. I've been a bit, quick thought. We've talked a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months back now, about best way to get Twitter followers.
Yes.
And we talk about faux outrage.
Farming outrage. If I can just reiterate to the listeners, Greeno, every time something small and incidental happens in the world of sport or just life in general, you need to blow it up way beyond natural proportions and make it into a huge thing.
And throw common sense out the window.
Get people on side with you. And then you came up with the idea of the double cross where you get a whole, like a bandwagon of outrage and then you turn on the people who you've outraged.
Yeah, because they're already following you by then.
Turn around and point the finger at them. And go, you people are a bunch of outrageous pigs, you know? And then, and then it's double outrage, and then you get more people on side. Outrage.
It's like WWE double cross style.
Yeah, the heel and face method, Greeno.
Quite happening. So that didn't work. We still didn't get any followers. So today, I've kind of stumbled across something nice here. So I sent a little a tweet. One of my favorite parts about Daylight Savings is a radio show on ESPN, a guy called Freddie Coleman.
Freddie Coleman.
He usually hosts a show by himself. Okay. And he's got sultry tones, but hosts a really good solo radio show.
Oh, nice.
So it's only ever on my train ride home during Daylight Savings time. So I was like, oh, I'm going to send him a tweet going, oh, I like this.
Freddo.
Tuning into the show, enjoying it, blah, blah, blah. That's been our most liked tweet for over a month.
Has it really?
12 people have gone, I'm thumbs up for that. Freddie liked it himself.
Freddie Coleman.
Freddie Coleman retweeted. So big thanks to Freddie for getting us out there. No follows, though.
Should we give a tip of the hat to Fred?
All right, tip of the hat, or do you reckon a nice Gary?
Nice Gary for
Freddie Coleman.
Freddie Coleman. What does he do, Greeno? What's his show about?
It's a bit of everything.
Bit of baseball, bit of sport, bit of current events.
What I like is he can talk a bit of everything. If you turn on ESPN for probably 95%, they're going to be talking NFL.
NFL.
He's that small pocket that can talk about everything, so doesn't just talk about NFL.
He's the 5%er.
He is the 5%er, and he helps me out during, you know, the baseball playoffs because he gives some good post-game rap.
There you go. Well done, Freddie Coleman.
Freddie Coleman, big fan of his stuff.
Yeah.
AFL Grand Final demo.
Yep.
Actually, before we get to AFL Grand Final, I forgot to mention the outrage demo.
The outrage. Outrage.
The outrage.
In all of my years of sports broadcasting, I've never been as outraged as I am right now.
New Zealand's best player, Jason Taumalolo, has opted to not play for New Zealand and to play for Tonga in the World Cup. Now, whispers is, word around the campfire, Damo, is he doesn't get on with the new coach, David Kidwell. So he's like, well, I get to choose here. I'm going to go play for Tonga instead.
Really? Do you reckon it would be something like that? Because it is New Zealand. I mean, you know, you're basically giving up a World Cup final berth.
Yep.
You know, or is it, you know, maybe the family put some pressure on him and said, you know, Jason.
He's a Kiwi.
Sit down. Well, is he?
Yeah, he's a Kiwi.
So why is he eligible for Tonga?
Because I think he's got Tongan heritage.
Well, isn't that enough?
Well, it is.
Yeah, so maybe he's not Kiwi. Maybe he considers himself Tongan before he's Kiwi.
He's born in New Zealand.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but Greg Inglis was born in New South Wales.
Yeah, exactly. We know how much that matters.
Who cares?
But, so that's big news.
It's not the main thing right now.
I heard a good comment earlier today talking about how Melbourne managed to, you know, limit Jason Taumalolo's damage. He still ran for 120 metres in the grand final.
Wow.
And that was his worst performance in the final series.
Wasn't Peter Sterling born in Queensland?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Well, that just goes both ways then,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
AFL Grand Final. Sorry, I got off track.
That's all right.
To happen on the show.
Did you watch the game, Greeno?
I watched every minute of it, believe it or not.
I was enthralled by...
Till half time.
Till half time. I actually nodded off for like the first 10 minutes of the second half, believe it or not. Because the half time break was just kept going and going and I had a rather big one the night before. But...
wait a second. Yeah, let's back up 2 seconds. AFL, if you're talking any sport that you follow more than any other sport, it's probably AFL,
probably.
So before GWS all year, you love tuning in the finals.
Yes.
You know Grand Final day is happening on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a big event.
And you know it's a big day.
Yeah.
So on Friday evening.
Yes.
Did you think maybe it might not be an idea to have a big one because I'm probably going to have a big one during AFL Grand Final?
I kind of turn into, would you say, a snowball effect once it starts getting past sort of 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Well, there's
crack open another bottle of red. And
nothing good happens after midnight, don't
Nothing good happens after midnight. The same is true on my couch, apparently. Yeah. And so, yeah, got to bed about 4:30 a.m. We were up at 7:30, 8 o'clock for... myself and the baby bride, a barbecue breakfast and mimosas. And that actually got me going again, Greeno. About 3.5 jugs of mimosa.
Yeah.
In the morning, heavily mixed,
yep.
as you would expect.
Yeah.
And yeah, that kicked me on till about half time. But then fell asleep during the halftime show.
Mm.
Woke up about halfway through the third quarter, Greeno.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was all over Red Rover.
It was pretty much all done and dusted by
all
that
over
point.
Red Rover. It was an epic choke by Adelaide.
Oh, a massive. Did epic you put choke. Any credence to the fact that Adelaide had to travel to Melbourne? There seems the last four out-of-state teams that have played the grand final, even though they might have been higher ranked, have lost to Melbourne-based teams in Melbourne?
It's not just that either. It's the fact that Richmond finished third and managed to play three finals games at their home ground.
Yeah.
Because you'll remember they played Geelong, but that was moved to the MCG. Then they played us at the MCG, and then they played Adelaide, who finished on top of them on the ladder, again at their home ground, the MCG.
Yep.
But the Melbourne people will say, no, it's you can't use that as an excuse. All the travelling teams know that they have to travel and they have to win on the MCG deck. But I think, like, if you're being logical, of course you can put some kind of travel tip on it, you know, and say it's different for Adelaide than it is for Richmond.
But I tend to agree.
That is the way it is, right?
That is what it is.
And that's what makes out of, like, if you win a grand final as an interstate team against a Melbourne team on the MCG, that's what makes it so special too.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. I think it's only fair, though, that in the event that, like, next year, they should rotate it.
They should
send it to Papua New Guinea or something.
Papua New Guinea.
So then Melbourne team has to travel.
I think we should call Sean Fensham and ask him where it should be played.
Sean's backyard, perhaps.
Sean's backyard.
So he's got a paddock.
Yeah.
I reckon he can fit them in.
Yep. Six and out over the back fence, Greeno.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Final score 108, Richmond, Adelaide 60. Talk about a terrible final series all in all, competitive-wise.
Yep.
There was only one game that was decided by less than 6 goals.
And that's incredible. And it was the one that went to extra time.
So out of all the things, the average margin was in excess of 36 points.
It's actually, you know what? It's probably saved the bye round at the end of the regular season, because you'll remember last season they did the same way, had the bye round. And what happened, like, it was, you know, the greatest final series, but you know, the Bulldogs won from 7th, and the two teams that won through to the preliminary final both lost it.
Yes.
Against the teams who had to play every week.
That is correct.
So if that had happened again, I think you would have found that the AFL would say, okay, we're not doing this AFL bye round anymore, because they'd say it's too unfair for the teams that have to play two games in a month, basically.
Yeah, but then you're stuck with this where, you know.
But this year it was the exact opposite. All the games were blowouts, and the two teams that won through to the preliminary final both won.
Exactly.
Both won.
Exactly.
I expected so much more from Adelaide.
Oh, look, we tipped it last week. We were like, well, we tipped Adelaide to begin with. And then, secondly, we did rookie error.
Yeah.
So it was going to be a close game.
Yeah.
We thought there'd be a bit of fight there, and it was up until half time.
Yep.
Even though Richmond were well on top pretty much the entire first half. And I sent you a text at half time going, look, Adelaide lucky to be ahead here. I think maybe quarter time I sent you a text.
Yep.
I'm like, Adelaide really lucky to be ahead here. They haven't played like it. Richmond probably should be up by a couple of goals. And second half just came home strong.
Do you reckon Dustin Martin was deserving of man of the match?
Look, yes and no. Look, another thing I said.
He was
you,
good, but I've seen him play better games.
He's better, but he just makes the right decision every time.
He does, like, yeah.
He was the one person I was kind of focusing on, because I just wanted to see what all the fuss was about. And no matter, any time he got the ball, I did not see him make a bad decision. It always went to the right man with kick, handball, run, whatever. Yep. He did play well. Was he best on ground? Probably not, but still had an amazing performance.
Alex Rance was pretty bloody special down back.
He was pretty good too.
Pretty down special. Dustin Martin, Greeno, I think the first player in history to win the Brownlow. Is it the grand final and the Norm Smith in the same year?
That would be in your notes, yes.
Is it really? I didn't look at that.
Second stat down.
There you go. There
Martin, you go. First player to ever win the Brownlow and Premiership Fantastic. In the same week. Yeah.
I'm glad you're doing prep there, and we're not just focusing on Sean Fensham.
I did some
Can
prep.
We do a Sean Fensham episode one week, and we'll just, like, we'll talk about Sean Fensham's, like, childhood life.
Mm.
We'll talk about his early years in football.
Yeah.
We'll talk stats. We'll see if we can get some of his old sort of coaches on the line or something on the blower.
See what they have to say.
See what they have to say.
Well, I know what they'd say.
Why don't we get Sean on the blower?
Greatest human being in history.
Yeah. we'll top it off with Sean at the end of the show, like just giving us compliments and basically saying what a great job we did in portraying him in such a beautiful light.
No, no, no. See, he's too...
A bit of Sean Fensham, this is your football life.
That's very un-Sean Fensham-like, though.
Yeah, because he's very humble, isn't he?
He'd want to talk about everyone else's achievements.
It's all about the team.
We're like, Sean, tell us about the grand final victory in 09 with the under-20 boys. Oh, the other guys were great.
Maybe he'll just let us cite his cast then.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice, yeah.
Kiss, kiss, hug, hug, the block boys. Here's another stat for you, Damo.
Yeah.
No team has ever finished 13th or lower the year prior to winning the flag. Tigers were 13th last year.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
That's amazing. And it was the first time since we discussed it last time, 1898, that both teams had no player that ever played in a grand final before.
Correct.
And did you catch Jack Riewoldt at the end of the game, Greeno?
Oh, the
marvellous quote.
Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
He said last year we finished 13th, and now we're effing premiers.
Nice.
Live to TV. And Matty Richardson, the great Richmond hero that he is, was, had his arm around him. He said, "That's okay, mate. You can say whatever you want."
No, you can't. No, you can't.
What are you going to do, fight him?
5-second delay.
Yeah.
All I saw after the match was the fact that he jumped up on stage with the Killers. Where was security?
There you go. Jack might have had a quick couple.
I tried to do that at concert once. I got the shit kicked out of me.
Did you?
Big bulky security guard.
For the Killers though. Surely you could do better.
Definitely wasn't the Killers. Before we wrap up the AFL segment, Damo, do you want anything you want to touch on before we close off the AFL file for the year?
No, I'm actually looking forward to how you enjoy the hot stove, Greeno. Well, the AFL has its own little version, and so for the next couple of weeks, I think trade period actually started this
yesterday.
Week. Yeah, it started yesterday.
Yesterday, day before.
And actually, just for the Giants fans out there in Western Sydney, a couple of disappointing news. Stevie J's gone to coach at the Swans.
What?
Yeah.
Traitor!
Yeah, but I thought, isn't the whole point of us having him, like, for this couple of years at the arse end of his career, see how quickly we turn? Now he's crap. Now we've had to put up with him for the last 2 years and his broken knee. Run it hobbling around out there like creeping death. And now he's going to go and give his expertise. So now he's figured out how we play. He spent 2 years with us and he's going to go and tell the Swans.
Man, I don't rate that.
The other disappointing thing, Nathan Wilson, Greeno. You know what a gun he is coming out of the back.
Dick! Kind of go there.
Yeah, that's a dick
Johnson.
Move, Stevie J. The other one is Nathan Wilson, Greeno. Apparently, he's looking for a trade back to Perth. And that's very disappointing because he's one of our best.
Who can we get from Perth, though? Who do you like?
Nobody like Nathan Wilson. He's a guy who kicks at 70 on the fly. He does the majority of our kick-ins. He's a great running half-back, speedy, amazing, like penetrating kick. So he's a massive loss. But I want you to tee up another dick move for him because...
Dick!
It was only a few weeks ago that he was saying, I used to get homesick, but now I love it here in Sydney, and I love playing at the Giants. And then all of a sudden, he's off.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Dick move.
You'd never see Sean Fensham doing something like that, pulling a stunt like that.
Not at all. They had to drag him out of Canberra.
Drag him out.
Up to North Queensland.
Kicking and screaming. He left fingernail impressions in the door frames as he was getting dragged out of that place.
That's it. The CSI team were all over that. Mm-hmm. To wrap up. The AFL season, Damo.
Close the AFL file.
We've got none of these ones.
Hey. Is this a long version?
This is a long version. We need to get the short version.
Okay.
Just the goat.
Just the goat. I can get just the goat on there if that's what we prefer.
Now we need the siren and then the goat.
Okay, that's good.
Like the old version. The BSB, they're all about even coverage, Damo. I had the pleasure of tuning into a good 8 minutes this week just to check out what the spiel was. So talking
that's solid research there.
About... grand final predictions.
You
and
still got a BTNRL out of it, though, which is interesting.
I did in the good 8 minutes I tuned in.
8 minutes.
A caller rang in.
It wasn't good, don't lie.
No, it was terrible. Yeah. A caller rang in to discuss how Paddy Dangerfield and Brett Delidio were both knocked out of the prelims by the clubs they'd left.
That's true.
And the caller was asking, do you think they'd have any regrets?
Very true.
Slats didn't let that, but that's not rugby league fan down.
Oh, okay. Didn't let that opportunity
didn't
go to waste.
Didn't let that opportunity slide, because he heard a question about AFL.
Yes.
And player loyalty, and he had to say this. Well, if you ask any player, they'll tell you they want to be a one club player.
Yeah.
Think Josh Reynolds wanted to leave the Bulldogs?
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Yeah, back on the block, Leisureman boys and girls.
Some rocky tracks tonight, Greeno, but if you're not a fan of the rocky stuff, sorry to steal your throwback from you, Greeno, but if you're not a fan of the rocky stuff, then never fear, because we're going to zhush it back up again with Everclear.
After it.
Just thought you'd like that.
I might skip that last song. MLB playoffs demo. Let's preview. So at the start of the year, I did my predictions, my big bowl predictions.
Yes.
My Tim Simone exotic bit of the week.
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to compare what I predicted to what I actually end up finishing. So
okay.
I actually did pretty well.
Okay.
I'm going to give myself
There was a couple of bold ones thrown in there, which I don't think many people saw. So.
Oh, I wouldn't say they're bold. I'd say I kind of went safe with a few of my selections there. But nonetheless.
Okay.
All right. So in the AL East, I picked the Red Sox. Give me a big old tick there.
Yes.
In the AL Central, I picked the Indians. Give me a big old tick there.
Big tick for you.
AL West, I picked the Rangers, which was a big wrong.
Yes.
However, my wild card was the Astros, who did win the AL West.
Interesting.
So I'm going to give myself a half tick there.
Okay.
I did the Blue Jays as the other wild card, so I was wrong there. Missed out on the Yankees and the Twins, which was today's wild card game. We'll get to that in 2 seconds.
Are you worthy of giving yourself a nice Gary or not? I know it's a big honour to bestow upon yourself.
Definitely
a nice
not
Gary.
Work a nice Gary. I'd go maybe a tip of the hat.
Tip of the hat.
Because I pretty much got 8 out of 10 right. Okay. So I'm going to go tip of the hat.
Okay.
In the NL East, I got the Mets. That was way wrong. way wrong. But once again, the team that did win it was one of my wildcard picks, the Nationals.
Greeno, everybody that picks the Mets for anything is way wrong.
They had one good year in 2015 and sucked ever since.
Yep.
I did the Cubs, which were right. I did the Dodgers, who were right. I did the Giants, which was way wrong because we were the worst team in baseball this year.
That was a little bit of bias, though. That was a bit of love.
I legitimately thought we had a chance this year. We had a wild card last year. We signed a big-name closer, which is our Achilles heel. We just couldn't hit this year. We're terrible.
Okay.
So who did I miss out on there? I missed out on the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies, who were the wild card teams. So the two wild card teams they wanted to keep on missing.
Okay, so what do we give you? 6 out of 8?
6 out of 8.
We'll call it 7 out of 10 then.
Why not? We'll tip of the hat for that.
Close enough.
Now, with that being said, today's match, which we requested a little bit earlier, what a cracker that thing was, even though it went for 900 hours.
Yeah. How many innings?
It only went 9 innings, but the game
was so slow.
Well, heaps of runs scored, heaps of pitches used.
Okay.
Just went forever. Like, I was in a training session, I thought, I'm going to miss the first couple of hours.
Yeah, plenty of tobacco being spat.
I thought it'd be fine. Like, I'll miss probably the first 4 or 5 innings, and then I'll get out of the training, and we'll be fine. I got out, it was the second inning.
Wow, like bonus.
I haven't missed anything.
Yeah.
But what it ended up ticking me off, because then another meeting I had, I missed the end of it.
Ah, of course.
But the Yankees, congratulations, got the big 8-4 win over the Minnesota Twins.
Yep.
In a bit of a cruel twist of fate, Damo,
the
Minnesota Twins, halfway through the year, they traded for some players because they thought they were in contention.
Yes.
And then 2 weeks later, they went on a massive losing streak, so they're like, oh, we're not in contention, we better sell.
Yeah.
And then they still made the playoffs. One of the teams they traded to was the New York Yankees.
Of course. Can you pardon my ignorance here for a moment and refresh my memory? When was the last time the Yankees actually won a World Series?
2009, Damo.
2009, okay.
So they've got a good young team this year.
Yep.
Sonny Gray from the A's got traded to them throughout the year. They're going for it.
Okay.
But they've got a big contest up next against the Cleveland Indians in a 5-match series.
Who's your tip for that?
Oh, you want me to do tips as well? All right. So we've got Cleveland versus New York. I'm going to go Cleveland that in 4.
In 4?
In 4. Because it's
pretty
confident. Best of 5 series.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You've got Houston versus the Red Sox. I'm going to go Red Sox in 5 in that one.
Okay.
Sneaky pick.
Yep.
You've got the Dodgers versus whoever wins tomorrow's wild card game.
Dodgers are pretty good, aren't they?
They had the best record in the league, so they're going to tip the Dodgers in that one.
Yep.
And you got the Nats versus the Cubs. Both their aces are currently out.
Ooh, okay.
But expected to come back for game 3, but you never know. So I'm going to go the Nats with zero confidence because they haven't won one playoff series since the 1900s.
Wow. That's incredible, isn't it?
It's crazy. The Washington.
You should give yourself a tip of the hat for running through that like an absolute pro, Greeno. What was that chap's name who retweeted you earlier?
Freddie Coleman.
Freddie Coleman's got nothing on you, my friend.
Freddie Coleman smashes me, sir. He's the greatest. Here's some random NLB playoff stats for you, Damo. The Twins are ahead of the postseason. First team ever to go from 100 losses 1 year before and then to the playoffs the year after.
They've done a bit of a Richmond, but that's not AFL going on.
Correct. Two teams, the Dodgers and the Indians, had 100 wins. The Astros got one more and made it for the first year ever that three teams won 100 games with it. None of them were the Yankees.
Incredible.
You also had Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge.
Is the American leading 52nd homer, Blipson. It's a 96-year-old Babe Ruth record. What'd he do?
Yeah, I'm going to retract that Gary Coleman. Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman, different. What are you talking about, Demo? He eclipsed the most home runs at home in a season.
I didn't know Gary Coleman was still so popular, Greeno.
Previously
here
held
he
by
is retweeting from beyond the grave.
What I'm also going to do, Damo, is I'm going to go a nice Gary to one Matt Cain.
Nice Gary.
Nice Gary!
Matty Cain announced his retirement throughout the week as a Giants pitcher who is only one of six pitchers in MLB history to throw a perfect game, start an All-Star game, and win a World Series game. All in the same year.
One of six. That's an exclusive club.
He's one of one. He's the only Giants player to ever throw a perfect game.
Wow.
He ended up with 109 no decisions in 331 starts, Damo. A phrase that was coined was called being caned. It meant you'd pitch amazingly, give up no runs, but your team wouldn't score you any, so you'd still cop a loss.
Oh, really?
109 times that happened to him.
So he could have been one of the absolute greatest of all time.
Could have won in excess of 200. Yep, 100%. Could have won over 200 games. He announced his retirement throughout the week. My Sunday was a bit similar to what your Friday night / Saturday morning was.
Yeah, because you've got the advantage of watching the Rugby League Grand Final that starts about 3 hours later than the AFL one.
I got up...
By 5:30 at night, I was fine.
But 6 a.m. it 6 was beers open for brekkie.
Really?
To watch Matt Cain's final start. Of course.
How many innings did he get?
He got through 5 shutout innings, didn't give up a run.
Incredible.
He still didn't get the win in his final start.
The cruel twist of fate.
It was terrible. Poor guy. So tip of the hat back, Kane. He's one of the reasons why I'm a Giants fan, because the game I went to was the day before he threw his perfect game and got me interested in the Giants and baseball.
Okay, there you go. A little bit of Greeno story time there, ladies and gentlemen.
And little does a tidbit, but the fact that I was drinking at 8 a.m. and didn't eat breakfast means by the time it got to the NRL Grand Final, I was hammered. I had to have a break during one of the prelim games. Like, I can't drink for a couple of hours. I've got to get sorted. Something I was drinking through, however, was the F1 Malaysian Grand Prix.
Little tad on the boring side, was it?
It was a pretty uninteresting race. Max Verstappen got the win, Lewis Hamilton second, Daniel Ricciardo got another podium.
Okay, Verstappen, he's one to watch, isn't he?
He is.
Have Red Bull secured him and Ricciardo yet, or is
no,
it still up
I think
in the
it's
air?
Still up in the air. They're doing a change in entry. They're looking to manufacturing their own, apparently.
Really?
Or doing a switch to a Renault, I heard.
Okay, back to the Renault.
Maybe. You never know what's going to happen there. So I think they're waiting to see what engines they choose before anyone resigns. Sebastian Vettel, I hate to do it. I'm going to give him a tip of the hat.
Yes.
He started in the back of the grid, got that bastard up to fourth, almost got over Ricciardo for the podium.
Actually, I think you'll have to bring it up during the next song. I think they've chosen their engine manufacturer because I remember watching one of those little team, you know, the team directors press conferences and there's three or four of them.
Yeah.
And they made some announcement with some other team.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out in the end.
Okay.
What I am going to do, though, is...
I think they might have gone back to Renault.
I'm going to have to go this one.
You dick!
Ooh.
This goes to Channel 10. So
it's a wide net.
Their motorsport coverage in itself has been terrible over the last couple of years, only showing certain races, then showing highlights on a Monday.
Yeah, because Foxtel owns the show now.
They own the show, but they're still showing random races.
And can we give a nice Gary?
Nice Gary!
To the Foxtel coverage, because it's incredible.
You tell me.
The way they do the V8s is like they do all the practice like the whole weekend, and same with the F1s, and they do all the behind-the-scenes stuff, the pit walks that you don't see on Australian TV. So how can anyone compete?
Well, Channel 10 have just decided, well, we're not going to care anymore. We're just not hosting them.
Oh, Greg Rust will be thrilled.
So well done, Channel 10. They're like, oh, we're going to show highlights on Monday. I don't care about the Monday.
So they've actually gone back to the dark old days that Channel 7 used to do?
Yeah.
It was Channel 10. Back in the day, it used to show crappy little highlights at about 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday. Then Channel 7 took it over.
Yeah.
And Channel 7 brought the sport up to like the glory heights. And then when they changed contract and went to Channel 10, everybody said, oh, no, they're not going to treat the sport with respect. And Tony Cochran, who's now running the Gold Coast, that shows you something, Greeno. Run that club into the ground.
Yeah.
Everybody said, no, they're going to do the exact same thing at Channel 10. And what do you know? Here we are.
Yeah, the Mitchell Stark party whistle means we're almost out of time. Was that my return call or yours?
I think it was yours.
It was yours because we skipped one, didn't we?
No, but it was yours because I stole your last one.
Ah, fair enough. So,
to even up the universe, Greeno.
The Mitchell Stark party whistle means we're almost out of time. Yeah. Speaking of cricket, Damo.
What do you got for me?
I don't want
to
do it.
Is it too soon to get excited about cricket? Usually when the grand final's over, I spend a couple of weeks on trades and stuff, and then I'm into cricket mode.
See, I'm 100% focused MLB playoffs right now. I can't be distracted by cricket at this point. Which is disappointing because we've got the One Day Cup happening.
And you don't like Premier League. So I do tend to, during the cricket season, wash in a bit of Premier League.
Yeah.
And I've got the Optus now, so we can get back into the Premier League. The good old Saints screener. Looking forward to that.
Nice one. So, terrible news today. No matter where we go, whenever you look at the start of Australian summer, it's become a tradition.
Yes.
Where one of our young core four of Australian fast bowlers goes down with some other ridiculous injury. Yes. This year, it turns out, James Pattinson's back on the list.
It's an award that Paddy Cummins has held, you know, onto with an iron grip.
Well, James Pattinson's giving a good run of his money. Here's a list of his injuries, Damo. This doesn't include pre-test debut stress fractures or setbacks in domestic cricket. This is just playing for Australia. In November 2011, made his Australian test debut. In January 2012, fresh foot stress injury in Sydney, out of the India test.
Incredible.
In April 2012, he had a back injury in Trinidad, out of the Windies test. In November 2012, side tear in Adelaide, out of the home summer. June 2013, back injury in Lords, out of the Ashes series, both Ashes series.
Wow.
March 2014, back injury in Cape Town, out of the 2014-15 summer. March 2016, shin stress injury in Christchurch, out of Sri Lankan tour and beyond. August 2017, back injury in England, out of Bangladesh tour. October 2017, back stress injury re-aggravation in Australia, out of the Ashes.
And that's all she wrote. You know what? We're going to have to fill Jake's in. We're going to have to say, okay, mate, you know what? We wish you had have stayed healthy and you could have stayed in the team because you were a pretty decent player, but it's been too long now.
Too long, yeah.
We're going to move on.
We're going to have to move. What pisses me off the most is
it's like 8 years now.
He spent his off-season trying to get match fit. To his credit, he tried to get match fit, played county cricket, and then got injured after that.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, well, no, we know you're injured.
Giving all your time to the Poms.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? If he was Sean Fenton, he'd be playing.
He'd be playing.
Yep.
Sean Fenton, he laughs at back injuries, don't he?
What's a back injury? My spine is made out of titanium.
Quickly, Popovich, man. We've got a minute.
Yep, Tony Popovich. So what's he been there for? 7 years?
Something like that.
He's been there since the start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think 7 years. And my wife's actually disappointing because she's quite a fan of your Popovich, if you know what I mean.
In the looks department?
In the looks department, yes.
Really? Is it the nose that does it for her?
No, she just likes a serious-looking guy. A serious-looking guy. So I don't know how she ended up with me. Nonetheless, I'm obviously Popovich will have a special place at the Wanderers and always will because, you know, they won the Asian Cup together. But I think, you know, he's moved on. And from what I can gather, a lot of the fans, you're obviously going to have the angry core, the angry set, who are dead set against this decision no matter what. But from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are like, yeah, well, the team's kind of stale. They've been playing the same way basically the whole time. So bring in a new guy, mix it up, new philosophy, and, you know, hope for the best.
It's all right, Tony. We'll still be bosom buddies. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
We'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. We'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you.
If I say that your tongue is vicious,
if I call you uncouth,
it's simply that.
Who else but a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you that?